Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to another episode of the Basketball Truth presented by the Red Light Sports Network with your host, Kevin Cunningham. This podcast is basically going over the first three games, kind of more of an emphasis over the third game, since that's the most recent game to be played. Cavs are up 2-1, but also just kind of predicting what's to take place over the next few games, basically the rest of the series, whether that goes 6 or 7, it's got to be one of the two. So the people that fought Cleveland would, you know, just destroy it. Well, I apologize, I guess. Cleveland could win this one 4-1, but that would be something. But the series should go at least 6 or 7. It's going to be a longer series. Some people, myself included, before the series started, I thought Golden State would win in 6. Then Kyrie went down, and Golden State won the first game. And I said, okay, you know, LeBron had his monster game in game 1. They still came up short. Kyrie's out. It's, you know, LeBron and a bunch of B players around him, you know, at best. And so I thought Cleveland was going to go on to win, or Golden State would go on to sweep. Obviously, I've been wrong. Last couple games have shifted around. Game 2 obviously could have went either way. Game 3 essentially could have as well, once Golden State made their run in the fourth quarter and Curry found out, you know, how to shoot in Cleveland, I guess, is the way to put that. But, yeah, this series, I mean, plenty to go over. But, you know, the one thing that I can really relate to, I'm 24 years old, so it's been a while since I've played, you know, competitively, as far as the basketball scene is concerned. But growing up, my life was basically basketball, whether it was watching, you know, mostly playing though. I grew up in Florida, and you know, down there you can play every single month of the year, doesn't matter what day. I remember one time for a travel team, we had a practice that was, you know, it ended early because it was like in the 40s. It was, I don't remember the exact date, but it was sometime in the winter. And, you know, it was a little windy and the temperature was in the 40s. We were practicing outside. So essentially, you're able to play outside any day of the week, any day of the year. Doesn't matter. Summer, winter, fall, spring, doesn't matter. And so that was basically my life growing up. Basketball is my favorite sport. I played it, if not every day, you know, at least 3 times a week before I started playing travel basketball. And that, you know, then it was obviously more than just a few times a week. But so I can relate to this series and how it's going essentially in one way. And that's just with confidence and heart and determination. And when you're playing the game, you know, especially in the playoffs or championship games, I was fortunate enough to be a part of a lot of teams in, you know, little stupid recreation leagues that, you know, our team would typically be one of the top teams and we would make the championship game basically every other season, quote-unquote. The seasons, there were basically 4 seasons a year, because every season, you know, like there was a summer season, there was a spring season, there was a fall season. So there's 4 seasons a year. Would make the championship probably a couple seasons every year. But so, in those games especially, you know, relating to the NBA Finals, if you're a team, you know, an individually that is not just hungry to win and wants to win, because everyone wants to do that. But when you're playing at truly 100% and you're getting a little tired and then you're playing through it and a couple minutes later, the adrenaline's just pumping through you and you have that second, third wind, that to me is the way that Cleveland is winning the series. It's not because Cleveland's better, because I think Golden State's a better team. I think even after today, most fans, you know, legitimate fans, not casual people tuning in because it's the finals, but general NBA fans. You don't have to be, you know, an analyst for a major network, but any legitimate NBA fan that watches, you know, more than a dozen games during the regular season. So, you know, you can tell by just watching the series that Cleveland's not the better overall team. Golden State has more talent. You didn't have to really follow the NBA during the regular season to see that. Golden State has more stars on the court than Cleveland does right now. Golden State is deeper. They've got better shooters. They probably have more, certainly more versatile players. Guys that typically you would say would want it as much as guys on Cleveland would. Draymond Green, absolutely 110% competitor. Just like Dellavedova. And you get guys like Curry, who obviously if you're that good a shooter, you have to care and work about your, you know, you have to care enough to get elite good at anything, whether it's playing Pokemon or shooting a basketball. If you're elite and you're one of the best in the world at doing whatever you do, then you have to care about it. And you have to put hours and hours and hours and hours and hours in and love doing it. So the passion is there for Curry. The passion is there for Klay Thompson. You know, it's not as though Golden State doesn't want it. Of course they want to win a championship. But Cleveland right now is playing in that extra gear where it's not even necessarily confidence, but it's just you can't really describe it unless you've been in that situation as an athlete, whether it's basketball or football or baseball or hockey or lacrosse, or it doesn't matter. But you get that second, third wind that takes you that extra step, and during that time, you're just playing with such – it's just a different feeling. That's what Cleveland's doing right now in this series. That's what they've been doing throughout the series. That's why they're up 2-1. Cleveland's not a better team than Golden State. They're up 2-1. They could end up winning this series. But the roster that is available to play for Cleveland is not better than Golden State. What they are doing better and why they're winning the last couple games is because they're just playing inspired basketball. I have no idea what LeBron's little extra motivation thing is. To me, he's going to unveil it once the finals are over, whether Cleveland wins or not, and it's going to be kind of a letdown to those people who think this is going to be some major story. As far as his extra motivation, I think it's just going to be something fairly generic, maybe a little interesting, but it's not going to be this groundbreaking story that Doris Burke has to interview LeBron on after every single game and ask, you know, what's that extra motivation? Are you going to tell us? You know, that little narrative to this finals is nothing big to me. But so Cleveland's just playing inspired. And they're just playing with more heart. And they're caring more. And they're willing to put their body on the line more. There was a thing, a story up about Dellavedova suffering from major cramping and going to the Cleveland Clinic after last night's game. Getting IVs in the arena after the game and ending up going to the hospital because he was cramping so bad. It reminds me of, was it game one of the finals last year, I think, when LeBron was going up against San Antonio and he was missing the last few minutes of the game, of game one in the finals last year, because of cramps. Well, cramps can get so bad that you have to go to the hospital for them. So it's not, you know, it's not some minor thing. But in any case, that's just what embodies this, you know, first three games of the finals. Is Cleveland just not necessarily wanting it more or caring more or, like I said, both teams want it. But Cleveland's just playing that, they have that extra gear in their step, that extra bounce. And unless you've had that moment or moments as an athlete yourself, it's just kind of harder to describe. But when you're playing, it's kind of like playing with confidence. It's more than that. But when you're playing with confidence and you hit, you know, 5 threes in a row, you just have a bounce in your step. You're going to rebound the ball better. You're going to play better defense on the other end. You're obviously shooting it better. You're seeing the court more clearly. You're just a better player for that stretch of time where you have that extra bounce in your step. Again, it's not necessarily just confidence. I think both teams are confident that they can win. But Cleveland's just playing with that extra gear that Golden State isn't. Golden State looks more tentative. Cleveland is playing inspired and cares about every possession, taking it down to every single detail. It doesn't matter if it's 2-0 or it's 20-20 or it's 86-79. LeBron James basically brings the ball up past the half-court line with 17 seconds left every single time, whether it's off a Golden State miss or a made basket or an out-of-bounds or after a timeout. It makes zero difference. It seems like 90% of the time LeBron will walk the ball up the court and pass the half-court line with 1 second left to spare from getting an 8-second violation in the backcourt. They want every single possession to mean as much as possible, and they want to get every single second out of every single possession. They're slowing the game down. I tried looking before the show as far as how many possessions are being played in each game of these finals, and I wasn't able to find it. But, you know, what I could find was that Cleveland ranked 25th this past season in average possessions per game that they played during the regular season. Golden State was second behind Houston. Golden State obviously wants to get up and down the floor. And realistically, when you have LeBron, you want to get him out in transition because he's impossible to stop, whether it's driving and kicking to open shooters or just driving to score. It's not as though Cleveland is a huge fan of slowing it down. Over the regular season, saving guys' energy, whether LeBron's out for a couple weeks or Kyrie is hurting, you know, they ranked 25th, so they were one of the slower-paced teams, but they obviously don't mind getting out in transition. But in this series, to this point, the first three games, Cleveland wants to walk the ball up as slow as possible. And they're basically letting LeBron ISO or giving him a pick at the top and reading the defense. That's essentially all that's happening. But so that's where I can relate to this series, and that's, you know, I tweeted about it during yesterday's game. You know, while Cleveland was extending their lead from 10 to 20 in that third quarter, that it's not as though Cleveland is just better than Golden State. It's that they're just playing more inspired and they have that extra bounce in their step to care more on the defensive end. And that's really what's been the difference, is Cleveland's defense. You look at the final scores of these games. Game 1 went into overtime. It was 108 to 100. That's your average Golden State-Cleveland game probably in the regular season without an overtime. And Cleveland got a BS basket at the end, you know, a layup by LeBron with 2 seconds left when the team was down by 10. So Golden State essentially shut out Cleveland for the overtime period in game one. Game two, 95-93, also went into an overtime period. It was tied at 87 going into overtime. Game one, it was tied at 98. Game one wasn't as slow. Cleveland also got off to a hot start, up 29-19 after the first quarter in game one. But game two slowed down. It was 20-20 after the first quarter. In the third quarter, Cleveland outscored Golden State 15-14 in game two. Final score 95-93 with an overtime in there. Also going back to game one, LeBron played 45 minutes. Tristan Thompson played 47, which surprised me. Golden State went 10 deep. Cleveland went 8 deep. Dellavedova recorded 9 minutes in game one. Game two, another overtime game. Dellavedova played 42 minutes in that game. Now, again, that obviously has to deal with Kyrie being, you know, playing 43 minutes in game one. But game two, Dellavedova played 42 minutes. LeBron played 50. Thompson played 39. Golden State, four of their starters were in the 40s. Vogel only played 25 minutes. Iguodala played 36. Again, Golden State went 10 deep. Game 3, LeBron played 46 minutes. Thompson played 44. Dellavedova played 38. They again went 8 deep. They're going 8 deep, essentially, with J.R. Smith, James Jones, and Mike Miller. Basically a bunch of twos. Backup shooting guards. In terms of bigs, they have none coming off the bench. Zero. Cleveland is playing zero bigs off the bench. They either go small or they have their two bigs in the lineup. They have zero reserve bigs coming into the game. Golden State last night, Curry played 43 minutes. They again went 10 deep. Going forward, Cleveland has to not necessarily run out of gas, but slow down. In the fourth quarter of these games, it has to start showing eventually, and it did last night. Cleveland was up by 20 in the third quarter. Through three quarters, they were up by 17. They were up 72-55. Cleveland, you know, they were up 17. And Golden State made it a one-point game eventually. They scored 36 in the fourth last night. Curry hit like six threes in the fourth. Or actually, it might have been five. Because I think he had one in the first quarter, one in the third. And he finished 7-13. You know, overall, you look at Curry's numbers last night. He went 10 of 20 from the field, 7-13 from three. 27 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. The problem was 6 turnovers. General stats over the entire game, not bad. I would say he played a pretty good game, minus the 6 turnovers. But he had 3 steals, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. It's not as though he played poorly. Now, over the first, you know, 3 quarters, he was dominated. But overall, in the grand scheme of things, totals-wise, looking at some of the totals numbers in this series is insane, by the way, because of how few possessions there are, because Cleveland's just completely slowing it down and not turning the ball over much and just limiting Cleveland or Golden State's fast break game. I think Golden State had 2 points last night off the break in transition. Cleveland's just completely slowing it down. You look at some of the box scores of these games, and they're insane. Cleveland won the game last night. LeBron had his 40, which he's getting every single night. Dellavedova had 20, and then you've got a couple guys scoring 10 apiece in Thompson and J.R. Smith. Cleveland won the game with LeBron scoring 40, doing his thing, Dellavedova getting 20, and then a couple guys scoring 10 apiece. You know, that's crazy. Curry had his 27, and then Iguodala had 15. David Lee had 11. No other player scored 8 or more points. Sorry, Thompson had 14. He was 6 of 16 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3. Committed 4 fouls, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 6 of 16 from the field. That's not going to get it done. Golden State needs more from Klay. And in game two, they needed more from Curry. Klay did his thing. In game two, Klay shot 50% from the field. Only 4 of 12 from three. Game one, going to be looking at threes here. Game one, Curry and Thompson combined from three shot 5 of 15. That's 33%. Game 2, Curry and Thompson combined from 3, 6 of 27. That's between 25 and 20%. Last night, Curry and Thompson from 3, shot 9 of 20. So a little better. But they lost. Because, again, the first three quarters, they were just they were just not playing inspired basketball. That's the difference to me. Cleveland has that extra bounce in their step. They know they have to care about every single possible possession. And so they slow it down. They have more energy on the defensive end. And realistically, outside of LeBron, it does make sense why Cleveland's playing the level of defense that they are. Cleveland doesn't have to worry about offense. They give the ball to LeBron. He reads the defense, whether it's for himself, and he scores 40, and so the other guys aren't involved as much, or he passes it around for open shots. The other four guys on the court with LeBron, because LeBron's basically playing every single minute of these games, he's missing like 3, 4, 5 minutes a game. So usually it's LeBron with four players around on offense for Cleveland. Those other four guys, you either set a pick or you stand at the three-point line. Basically, unless you're big and you stand on the opposite block from LeBron. You're not moving much. You're not exerting much energy. So that leaves Cleveland's other players, not necessarily LeBron, to give, you know, 90% of your efforts to your defense. I think for as simple as a game plan it is, and how realistically, not idiotic, because it's working, but I guess simple is the right word, for David Blatt as a head coach saying, you know what, this is going to be our offense. Just let LeBron read the defense, give him the ball, and get out of the way. He'll make the right play more often than not. And through three games, he's done that. His efficiency numbers obviously have dropped. They're not at the standard of where he usually is, whether it's regular season or postseason, because he's getting the ball every single possession. He's being the quarterback, just reading what Golden State is more so giving him. Whether that's driving, whether that's taking a fadeaway, you know, those coming from the right wing, going into the paint, driving left, basically jump stopping and shooting a fadeaway that's absolutely unstoppable from the free throw line, those shots are just incredible to me. The efficiency at which he's doing those particular shots is insane. Seems like he makes more than he misses. Those are crazy difficult shots. Now, overall, efficiency-wise, shooting the ball, LeBron's, you know, not being efficient at all. But in terms of making the right play, he's not shooting terrible shots in general. David Blatt said that the other night. Yeah, LeBron may be shooting, you know, 35%, whatever, from the floor, 40%. He's not shooting a good percentage in the series. But he's not taking terrible shots. That's a credit to him and his knowledge of the game. I don't think there's been, it's hard to say that there's been a smarter player in the league than LeBron is right now, today. Not 2 years ago, not overall in his career. But just from a pure knowledge standpoint and understanding of what the defense is giving him and the teammates around him, you trust the ball to be in LeBron's hands every time down the court. That's what David Blatt has decided to do. That's Cleveland's offense. Whether there's a pick or it's just a complete ISO, that's all Cleveland's doing. They're not posting up their bigs. They're not running screens for shooters all over the place. There's not too much ball movement. It's giving the ball to LeBron and saying, here you go. Do what you think is best on the offensive side of the floor. The other seven guys that play for Cleveland every single night, just focus on defense. And that's why Golden State is being held to these insane quarters. Game 2, they had 59 points through three quarters. That was a season low. 59 points through the first three quarters in Game 2, season low for Golden State. Game 3, they had 55. That's a new season low. Cleveland's defense has been incredible. Game 1, they held Golden State to 19 in the first quarter. Then in the second, they scored 29, 25, 25 in the third and fourth. Still, though, that's only 98 points. You know, well below their season average, which is somewhere, you know, 107, 108, 110, something like that. So, again, Golden State's offense was slowed down in game one. They still shot 44% from the field, 37% from three. They made 20 of 22 free throws. That was realistically the difference. They made 7 more free throws than Cleveland. But, yeah, that's Cleveland's game plan. Give the ball to LeBron on offense. The rest of the guys just play D. Focus on defense. That's all that matters. And as simple as that is, it's interesting to watch LeBron dissect the defense every single time. And it's fun to watch Cleveland play defense against the best offensive team in the league. Again, my mind hasn't really changed about, you know, what these teams are and anything. It's more of a, holy crap, look how tenacious Tristan Thompson is on the boards. I knew he was before. But again, game one, he played 47 minutes. Game two, he played 39. Last night, he played 44. He's playing insane minutes. And he's getting double-digit rebounds every single game. Game one, he had 15. Game two, he had 14. Last night, he had 13. Whether he scores 2 points or 10 points, he's fighting on the glass every single possession. And that's what they need him to do. Mozgov is outplaying Bogut. Cleveland has the advantage inside, and they have LeBron. Big-wise, on the court, they're better than Golden State through three games. Dellavedova is playing good enough defense on Curry to say that even if Golden State has an advantage offensively on the perimeter, it's not much. Harrison Barnes went 0 for 8 last night. Did not make a field goal. Did not score. 0 points, 3 turnovers, 0 for 8 from the field. 3 rebounds, 0 assists. He only played 19 minutes. I mean, 10 guys for Golden State last night. 10. Played at least 10 minutes. David Lee had 11 points. 4 rebounds, 2 assists, had 5 fouls. He only played 13 minutes, but he was 4 for 4 from the floor. That's efficient right there. Golden State has some things working for them. And they have things to look forward to going forward. You know, this series is extremely far from over. Ultimately, it probably goes 7. Because I'm sure Cleveland will pull one more out somehow. The question is whether they can get 2. This isn't going 4-1, Cleveland. Even 4-2, I would be very surprised. Because like I said, you've got LeBron playing, you know, sitting basically 3-4 minutes a game. So he's beat. And again, they're only going 8 deep. They're coming off the bench for Cleveland. Tristan Thompson's playing 40 minutes a night. Mozgov isn't playing at that level, time-wise, on the floor. But, again, he has to go up against another big consistently. Cleveland's going to wear down. They wore down in the fourth quarter last night. That's why Golden State scored 36 on them. The series is far from over. Again, I think Golden State's still the better overall team, despite being down 2-1. But LeBron is, you know, insanely good at making decisions on what to do on the offensive end and defensively. Not that LeBron's playing poorly, but the guys around him are playing their tails off on defense. You know, it's not just Dellavedova playing out of his mind defensively on Curry. It's the entire team. They want to slow Curry down, and they're doing a good job of it, minus the fourth quarter last night. Again, I think just energy-wise, they're spent. They've played essentially another quarter. You know, there are 12 quarters in three games. Cleveland's basically played 13. Golden State has as well, but they're going 10 deep. They're not recording the minutes like Cleveland is. Cleveland's going 8 deep. And Golden State, like I said, all 10 of their guys that played last night played at least 10 minutes. No one played 40-plus outside of Curry. Cleveland, you got two guys at 40-plus last night. Dellavedova played 38. And they're going 8 deep with Mike Miller playing, you know, garbage time. He played 6 minutes in game two, 5 minutes last night. So seven of their guys got major minutes in game two. Last night, six guys had 31-plus minutes. Shumpert and his health going forward, not exactly sure. So Cleveland's going to be even more limited. I mean, it's just crazy to even look at the box scores and look at, you know, what's getting it done for Cleveland and what they're doing to Golden State defensively. It's insane. LeBron shot 6 of 10 from the line in Game 1. Obviously, that's poor. 14 of 18 in Game 2. Pretty solid. Last night, he was 10 of 12. You'll take that. You know, clutch LeBron. He made every free throw I remembered last night in the fourth quarter. Whether they were up, you know, 12, 6, 5, 1. He made every free throw in the fourth quarter that I remember. You know, he's playing with supreme confidence. He knows that he's the best player on the court. Every single possession. This postseason, he's averaging 29, 10, and 8. It's insane. The most assists, he's averaging the most assists he ever has in a postseason this year with 8.3. Averaging the most rebounds, 10.7. And again, 0.1 off of averaging 30 a game, just for the postseason. The finals, he's averaging 41, 12, and 8. There's no word to describe that. That's, you know, those are historic numbers. Whether he's shooting 14 for 34 or 17 for 37, efficiency-wise, shooting the ball, not great. Not good. But when you average 41, 12, and 8, and you're leading 2-1 after the first three games with a couple overtimes thrown in there, and you're playing 48, 45, 50 minutes. That's insane. What LeBron's doing offensively has never really been mirrored in terms of usage. The percentage of Cavs possessions he uses when he's on the floor with shots, assists, turnovers, free throw attempts, 42% in the finals. 31% in the first round, 38% in the second, 39% in the conference finals, 42% in the final. and he's accounted for 64% of the Cavs' points in the finals. 64%. Just on points and assists. It's insane. He's played over 142 minutes of the 154 minutes in this series so far. No one else has played more than 131. Last night he missed 1 minute of the fourth quarter. Played the entire third. The first minute and 3 seconds of the fourth quarter he sat out last night. Came back into the game, even though they had a 15-point lead. What LeBron's doing is incredible. Some saying it's the best postseason performance or NBA Finals performance ever in league history. You know, that's to be seen. But usage-wise and what he's doing offensively, reading the defense, making the right plays, it's hard to argue that there's been, you know, at least a better first three games. I think Jordan averaged over 40 in one finals. I forgot who the other one was. I just saw the stat. It might have been Bird. Those guys had like 41-40 points-wise for a series. That's what LeBron's doing right now. But you add in the 12 rebounds and 8 assists a game, that's, you know, that's not happening by anyone else in NBA history. So, you know, stat-wise, watching the game, through the first three games, he's arguably having the best series ever in NBA Finals history. I'm not saying he is. But to be mentioned, you know, he deserves to be mentioned. As far as all-time NBA Finals history is concerned. So far, through three games. Again, there's still going to be at least three more games in the series. Cleveland's not winning 4-1. But this game four tomorrow night is going to be enormous. Because we saw it at the end of game three that Cleveland slowed down in the fourth. Golden State put up 36. Curry got his shot going. That's Cleveland tiring out. That's what's going to happen over the long haul of the series. Golden State will be better than Cleveland late in game. Just based off of pure energy. Not talent, not because they're better. Even though I think they are talented and they are a better team than what Cleveland is throwing out there right now. But it's just based on energy. Steve Kerr is, you know, he's perfectly fine having the series go 2-2, going back to Golden State. Because then you have Golden State hosting game 5 and 7. You have home court advantage for the last three games of the series. The series is tied, and you're way fresher than Cleveland is. And if this scenario plays out the way Kerr wants it to, they'll have the momentum heading into game 5, because they'll have won game 4 on the road. Everything, you know, the series could change immediately based on game 4. Cleveland has the same type of performance but slows down a little bit in the third, and the fourth goes Golden State's way because of just off, you know, energy, stamina. Golden State's got all the momentum going back home for game 5 in a tied series with game 7 on their home court. You know, this series is completely far from over. I still think Golden State wins it. But I think at this point, I would say Golden State in 7. Because I think Cleveland gets one more somewhere. They'll pull one more out. But it's going to be, you know, it's a very interesting series. It's not as though it's going to be one of the best series of all time, even though it could end up being. But the reason I, you know, delay on saying that is because Cleveland's not putting the best performance out there on the floor. It's not two insanely talented teams going against each other. It's LeBron on offense and his team on defense against a Golden State team that has played subpar to this point. That's why I'm, you know, very hesitant to say that it's one of the best finals ever, or it's going to be, even if it does go seven. Because the product on the floor to this point hasn't been incredible, you know, although Cleveland's defense has been incredible and LeBron on offense has been incredible. Overall, the games aren't, you know, two heavyweights fighting back and forth because they're just so much better than every other team in the league. That's not necessarily the case that's going on right now. But it makes for an extremely interesting series based on how each game goes and the storyline within each game. Again, box score-wise, Stephen Curry had a really good game last night. He was terrible through the first three quarters. Got completely shut down. Fourth quarter, he blew up. So there's much more to, you know, games than box scores. But it's the storylines within each game and how each one is playing out that is making the series that much, you know, more interesting than most final series before it. Again, I think Golden State wins in seven. I just think Cleveland's not necessarily going to run out of gas, but there will be lulls in games late going forward in the series. It already started in game three in the fourth, where Golden State just has so much more energy because they're so much deeper and they're not playing the minutes that Cleveland is. And so the players are just fresher. They're going to get more out of them over the next three, four games of the series. It could very well go 4-2 Golden State. It's not going 4-1 Cleveland. And if it goes 4-2 Cleveland, I'd be very surprised. I don't think that's going to be the case at all. If it is, then I think we know who's getting MVP for the final. And his doubters can then shut their mouth. But I still think Golden State's the better team. I still think Golden State wins. I can appreciate what LeBron's doing, but there's no way that you tell me at the start of the series that Kyrie goes down in game one, Cleveland loses, and they come back and win the series. Minus Kyrie and Love. I would have gone insane. But that could end up happening. Cleveland's up 2-1. Another home game tomorrow night. If Golden State wins it, I would be very surprised to see Cleveland win the series. If Cleveland goes up 3-1, then obviously they have a much better shot at winning. I still, you know, no way would say that the series is over, even if Cleveland's up 3-1. Because, again, they're going to be more tired as the series drags on. So I favor Golden State in seven. That's my prediction now, after game three. Thanks for listening to the Basketball Truth. Head over to theredlightsportsnetwork.com for all of our archived podcasts and blogs. This is Kevin Cunningham signing off. Going to be giving you guys another show eventually, at some point later on in this series. But Golden State in seven is my prediction. Hope you guys have fun listening. It's always fun giving you guys a show. Adios.